Q.
I got something here. I want to see if you know what this is.
A cube.
A cube. That's right.
Yeah, I like that.
Hello and welcome from deep inside Jolly Roger Studio. Once again, this is the Q Filmcast. And whether you're with us online worldwide or perhaps nationwide on one of our affiliate stations, thanks as always for tuning in. If you don't yet know, don't see how that's humanly possible.
I don't either. It's not possible.
No, it's not. But for those who fell in the crevices, okay. Let me just tell you how it goes. We are the Q Filmcast, the show which brings to you our review of a particular film currently streaming on Netflix Instant. We go around, we tell you what we thought of it.
Yep.
And then the inspiration happens.
Yeah.
We're inspired every week, which leads to our top three.
Yes.
Inspired by the film in question. And this week, let's talk about the show.
Yeah.
This week, we're talking about 1973's classic Sidney Lumet, Serpico.
Serpico.
Yeah, yeah. We're talking about that. The grow a beard and grow a conscience thriller. Okay.
Was that the tagline on the poster?
I came up with that.
Okay.
Grow a beard and grow a conscience.
It should have been the tagline on the poster.
It should have been, yeah. We're talking about Serpico this week.
Right.
Yeah. And obviously leads to our top three, as I discussed previous, top three great beards.
Right.
Great beards.
In
Fantastic
movies.
Fantastic beards.
First thing, though, Sidney Lumet. You know what? Mm-hmm. Last week, I think we talked about, maybe it was off air, I don't remember. We talked about, is it Lumet or Lumet?
You said Lumet, yeah.
Randall thinks it's Lumet, but Al Pacino calls him Lumet. I'm hearing it both ways, but I think Lumet gets it.
I've never heard it pronounced Lumet.
Let's just call him Sidney.
How about Big SL?
Big SL, the Big SL.
I think you're right, but I have heard many times Sidney Lumet. I don't know.
I've never heard. I've always heard Lumet.
It doesn't matter. How about we're both right?
How about Sidney Lumet?
And he's not going to be big. He's only 5'5".
How about Sidney Lumet?
He's a giant of a man.
Can we just say Lumet?
Lumet.
Sure.
There you go.
We're talking about Sidney Lumet, 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 the great director, long gone. And we're talking about the film Serpico, based on the book by Peter Mass, very popular, famous book.
Mm-hmm.
Early
you 70s. Figured it would be by Frank Serpico.
Well, I'm sure he was.
He ain't got time for that. He's chilling in Switzerland.
Yeah, he's in Switzerland
with his
now.
Sheepdog.
With his sheepdog. His $5 sheepdog.
Right.
Let's do some introductions right now. Let's do this. Let's talk about James Hard Sub Savage.
What's up, Maestro?
Max Gumbo Johnson to my right.
Yep.
Always a pleasure. You pleasure me.
I think I appreciate that.
Huh. Are you accusing me of harassing a coworker? I don't know.
Nope.
Adam, the Bomb Rogers, greatest producer in the history of this Q Filmcast.
Hello.
I want to answer your question, though. Back to you. How kind of week did I have? Is that what you asked?
Yeah.
I had a great week.
Yeah? Why?
Why? Well, if I wasn't shot in the face.
That's always good. Yeah.
Yeah. There's always wishful thinking, though.
Yeah. We talking bullets? I think we are.
I think Adam's the only one wishing for something
right.
like that.
Hey, you know, I was not accused of giving sexual favors to coworkers in bathrooms.
That's good. Yeah.
Didn't happen. You should see my coworkers, too.
Yeah.
It's tempting.
We've heard your bathroom stories.
It's always tempting.
That's not what I heard.
You weren't accused. You were just caught.
Yeah. What you doing in there? Huh?
J'accusé.
You know what the best part of my week was, Max? Max
this? Seeing me?
Well, that's up there. But not at any time, Max, did I have my pants ripped off, therefore exposing my bare buttocks.
That was crazy. What was up with that?
Right.
I actually rewound that. Not because of the buttocks, right. But I don't think that actor knew he was going to go there.
Oh, I don't think he did
either.
That
was some method stuff, Matt, for sure.
I mean, that was, man, if you want, we're going to talk about this.
Yeah.
But if you want to see Pacino go buck wild and rip off someone's drawers.
Go Rent Cruising. No, wait, no, wrong movie.
Oh, yeah,
wrong,
that's
movie
right.
wrong movie.
Maybe that's why I get the job in Cruising.
Yeah, you were so good at convincing it, getting to that guy's ass.
Yeah.
Could you do that for 2.5 hours for William Friedkin? You bet. Oh, yeah.
I'm a pro.
He tore those drawers up. All right, we're going to talk about Serpico this week, and then we're going to get into our top three beards. Once again, Michael, James Hartsub Savage, Max Gumbo Johnson, Adam, the greatest producer, Matthew St. Hoodie. He's taking a sabbatical.
Yeah. His sainthood was in jeopardy. It's got a high fashion.
He has to spread his hoodies around the world.
Right.
We're a little hoodie-less today.
Yeah.
But you know, the weather's getting warm. We don't really need a hoodie.
I always need
we
a hoodie.
Always
I
need
miss
hoodie.
Him already.
We always need a hoodie. Hoodie, no. You're missed.
Yeah, maybe he'll come back around. Who knows? But we're flying four today, right?
Flying four.
Flying four.
We're the flying four.
Well, 3.5.
Yeah, we went from.
Hey.
How did you know we were talking about you?
I already know where that was going.
Just assumed.
All right, guys, let's get into it. But before we get into the movie, let's talk about how to keep up with us. One easy way to do it. You go to theqfilmcast.net. Net. That's it. You go there. Big catch-all. You can do whatever you want there. You can leave us reviews of what you think of this film or any film.
We hope to someday be a com.
Oh.
Or an org. We could be an org.
I don't want to be no damn
You don't
org.
Want to be no org?
I want to be a com.
How about a .gov?
No, that's the last thing I want to be.
That's right. We don't want to be a .gov. All right, we're talking about Serpico, 1973, classic Sidney Lumet. I'm going to say it one more time because I liked it and I came up with it. Grow a beard, grow a conscience. Max, what do you know about Sidney Lumet? Lumet.
He did Dog Day Afternoon, didn't he? And
never saw that either.
12 Angry Men. Love 12 Angry Men. Me. That's a fantastic movie. This.
The Verdict.
The Verdict. Yeah, he did
Before
do
the Devil Knows You're Dead.
Ooh, yep. Yeah, there you go.
Network. Good movie.
Murder on the Orient Express.
Yeah, this guy did everything. He was great. Network. I love Network. Love
The
Network.
Wiz. Don't forget about The Wiz.
Yeah,
The
let's. Okay, I'm
forget The Wiz. Yeah,
I'm going to forget about The Wiz.
Running on Empty.
Yeah, just ease on down the
Running
road,
on
man.
Empty. I don't know that one.
Just he's on down the road.
He says he's on down the road.
Nicely played, sir.
Death Trap. I didn't know he did Death Trap.
Death Trap was great, man. What? That was Christopher Reeves.
And Michael Caine.
I remember loving that as a kid.
I remember the poster mostly.
Oh, the
it was like a Rubik's Cube where he's coming out of the top of it.
There you go. Right there. Producer
there
pulls
it, is.
It up.
See, I wasn't making it up.
Wow. It's a great movie. I love that film.
He's a legend.
Stars, as previously stated, Al Pacino. No need to get into that.
Never heard of him.
Stars John Randolph. He was in Christmas Vacation.
Yeah.
Oh, he played the father of one of, like, Clark's dad. He was Clark's dad.
Oh, okay. I'd have to see his face again. Yeah.
Anyways, people like that.
Yeah. Ton of people.
Ton of people.
Yeah. Tony Roberts. Tony Roberts.
Tony Roberts, yeah. Don't forget
Woody
Tony
Allen
Roberts.
Straight Man.
The principal from Back to the Future.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah. That's right.
And he still didn't have hair.
No. And he's the one they accused him of.
That's right.
That Jacques-Cusade.
Jacques-Cusade.
Yeah, that's right.
Jerk.
Yeah, let's get into ratings.
All right.
I actually know what goes down here. This is where we critique the critics.
Yep.
And let's do that right here. Let's get into IMDb.
All right.
Look at the producer.
Cheater,
he flashes
cheater,
it up on the screen.
Eater.
He's cheating.
What a shock. I wouldn't put it past him.
I wouldn't put anything past him.
Crooked producer.
I'll go over there. I'll rip your pants off. And I will expose your bare buttocks.
No,
you know what I thought?
Don't do that. Don't
Adam,
do that.
Adam, I thought you were straighter than a houndstooth, but you're not. You are not straighter than a houndstooth.
Quote.
Quote. Quote from the movie. Savage, let's get into IMDb. Okay. We're talking about Serpico.
Right.
I would love to have my name Serpico.
It's a cool name.
It is a cool name.
I mean, he just name dropped. What's your name? Just call me Serpico. And you can do that because that's actually your name.
Sounds like an oil company.
Call me Paco.
Call me Paco. Everybody loves you.
All right.
Savage, what did IMDb give this film? Something point something.
8.8.
You're kind of right. 7.8?
Yeah, I was kind of right.
Yeah.
Are you asking him?
He got the point .8.
Right. Okay. Right. Yeah. That's got to count for something.
7.8 on IMDb, right. Serpico. Max Gumbo Johnson, let's talk about both critics and users on Rotten Tomatoes. What do you think?
Critics, I'll go 85%.
89% fresh for the critics on Rotten Tomatoes.
That's what I was thinking.
Cool.
That's what I was thinking.
Users, I'd go about the same. I'd go around 80%. 85%.
90% on the user.
Whoa.
Yeah.
And it's considered a classic. You want to talk about what it is?
Sure.
I have a synopsis here.
Let's hear it.
I'm going to read it.
I want to know.
Here's what you have. Serpico, 1973, portrays the real-life struggle of an honest New York City cop against the corrupt system. What? Corrupt system?
What?
Neophyte officer Frank Serpico, played by Al Pacino, is determined not to let his job get in the way of his individuality. Despite his colleagues' leery reactions, he keeps one foot firmly planted in the counterculture, sporting a beard and love beads while living in bohemian Greenwich Village. So he's not your average everyday cop, is what I'm saying. Serpico's peers genuinely ostracize him, the other cops I'm talking about. However, when he refuses to take bribes like everybody else, appalled by the extent of police corruption, Serpico goes to his superiors. But when he discovers that they have ignored his charges, he takes the potentially fatal step of breaking the blue wall of silence and going public with the accusations. Serpico's revelations trigger an independent investigation by the Knapp Commission, making him a marked man and permanently changing his life. Shot on location with a gritty emphasis on documentary-style realism, Serpico presents a city in decay, both literally and morally, as everybody is on the take, and the cops and the criminals are almost interchangeable. Released in 1973, Serpico's true story of bureaucratic depravity That's a strong word, depravity.
Yeah. It's also bureaucracy. Yeah. They go hand in hand.
Yeah. Sure, right. Bureaucratic depravity touched a cultural nerve at the time, and the film became a hit with both critics and audiences, particularly for Pacino's complex performance as the honest, long-haired whistleblower.
Long-haired whistleblower.
Sounds
like something in a Cream song.
Sign everywhere. Sign.
Oh, I hate that song. Go sing that.
Please stop that.
Dumb
I think
song.
What I'm telling you is we have an honest cop.
Yep.
He's right. He's alone. Yep. No one's in his corner, and he's going up against the man.
I could just hear the guys from the Jaws trailer. He's an honest cop in a bad town.
Yeah.
Serpico.
Why?
That'd be awesome. We should totally play the trailer right now.
Officer Serpico, report.
That thing on your lip, it goes. And get a haircut.
This week you're 8-4, next week 4 to midnight. Any questions, the older guys will fill you in.
Okay, who are your playmates? Hey, Frank, you want a piece of this?
How come you didn't stay for the fun? That's not my kind of fun.
Hey, Frankie! How you doing?
You keep asking me that. What's the matter with you?
I must have been 9, 10 years old. I was this big. All my life I wanted to be a cop. Sick, I can remember nothing else.
So what do you think, Frank, about the money?
I don't know. But I'm not broke, and I don't have a family. You want to stick my neck out?
It's already out, Frank. Not taking the money.
I'm not doing anything bad here. We're skimming a little gambling money. It's clean.
If they would take all that energy, see, put it into straight police work, we'd have the city cleaned up in a week. If they clean up, there'd be no crime.
Suppose they ask you who's taking money.
What I don't know, I don't know.
Yeah, but you do know, Frank. Look, Frankie, I like you. I don't want to see anything happen to you.
Serpico?
I'm going to find anything on Serpico.
He's clean.
It takes a 14-shot clip. You expecting an army?
No, just a division.
We know how to handle guys like you. I had to cut your tongue out.
All right, so there you go. Frank Serpico, 1973, in the film Serpico.
Yep.
There's a trailer from it, and then we're going to talk about this one. I grew my beard. How'd you do, Max?
I just started a new job. I can't be going there all hippie-fied.
Oh, hippie-fied. I just shaved. I mean,
I won't even ask.
Yeah, don't.
You could shave twice a year. You'd be okay.
Yeah. He started growing his beard 2 months ago, can't you tell?
Yeah, I know. Right. So actually, I grew a beard for this show and something else, my playoff beard. But I'm going to call it my Serpico beard.
All right.
Great beard. Great facial hair in this film. And I love this film was the evolution of his face.
Yeah.
You had Stanza 1, mustache. Stanza 2, goatee. Right. Full-on beard. We're in the middle of the movie now.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about?
You had to suck her out.
It was like chapters.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this film. Let's get a little bit of trivia about this film. We do that every week, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know that, Max. You knew it was coming.
I love trivia.
Did you know, Max Gumbo Johnson, this film was shot in reverse order. Al Pacino began with long hair and a beard. Then, for each scene, his hair and beard were trimmed as he became clean cut.
I was wondering about that while I was watching. I said it would be way easier to do it backwards. Because if you grew the beard,
right,
and then you're like, well, now we got to wait 3 more months.
And did you know that everybody involved refused to use any fake facial hair? They were going to use his real beard. Well,
this is not Team America.
Right. No.
You got to use the real thing.
Yeah, right.
Producer, this one's for you, man. Did you know that after spending a lot of time with Pacino as he prepared for the role, the real Serpico wanted to remain on the set but was asked to leave, which hurt Serpico's feelings?
Oh,
he wanted to be there for the filming, but the producer said no. He believed that his presence would be too much of a distraction. Did you know that John G. Avildsen was originally set to direct this film?
Hmm. Yeah, John G. Yeah,
you know
everybody knows that.
Did Rocky?
Rocky, man, Karate
yeah,
Kid.
That guy,
Karate Kid. Yeah,
I could see that.
It'd have been a different film.
All right, so let's talk about how we're going to rate this thing and what we thought of it. And you know, we don't use thumbs up, thumbs down on that garbage.
Nah.
What is it this week?
It's chunky.
It's chunky. It's just chunky.
I don't like them chunky ratings. I like a smooth rating.
I like a smooth rating.
I want something sensible that's in line
with
the movie.
The film.
Right.
We talked about this.
We went round and round.
Yeah, we did.
Right.
And I wanted rip
draws. I almost ripped your pants off. You were about to say it, weren't you?
I want to go with rip draws. But I don't think we should go. We could go with rip draws.
Right.
Could.
But we are not going to go with 1 to 10 rip draws. Right. We're going to go with, what the hell are we going to go with?
Bagman.
Right.
Bagman.
Which is almost what you see with ripped drawers.
Yeah. Damn, rip my drawers off. Cop, frisk me, rip my drawers right off me.
You see my bag, man? No, it's Bagman. Like, go collect your bag, man. Right.
Tore those drawers up. All right, 1 to 10 Bagman. All right, I'll go first. How's that sound? I queued this thing up because, first of all, we've had some requests for 70s films.
Yes, we have.
I wanted to see a Fantastic Beard.
Okay.
I've been talking a lot about Sidney Lumet, and I want to see a Sidney Lumet film.
Right.
And I thought Serpico's on there. Max had recently talked about it. I said, yeah, I hadn't seen it in a long time.
Right.
I remember as a kid affecting me. All right, so I sit down to watch this thing again, excited about it. I have an odd relationship with this film. It's like certain things it underdelivers and certain things it overperforms. I think I'm between a 7 and an 8. I'm really teetering. I'm firm. I don't know which way to go on this. I'm going to start 7. Maybe you can push me to 8. The reason I'm going 7 is because if you get shot in the face, you're not going to end up with a pimple. That really bothered me in this film. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do.
I was like, it's just a damn pimple.
The body is an amazing thing, my man.
Right.
But you know what I'm saying? There's certain things about the movie that's like, man, it just felt a little shallow. But then he ripped those drawers off pretty good. I mean, there's some great stuff in this film, too, like the score.
Yeah.
Just almost just beautiful. It just seeps with some really great dressing. But still, I think I like Frank Serpico, the man, more than I like Frank Serpico, the movie. I'm going to go real hard 7, and I'll tell you why here in a little bit. It's not my favorite Lumet film.
Right.
That will always be Before the Devil Knows You're Dead. It's a great rewatch. Can't wait to talk about it. Give me a strong 7.
All right.
How about you, Max Gumbo Johnson? Let's go this way with it. What you going to go?
I'm going to go 8. 8 Bagman.
8?
Yep.
Bagman. Did not hate this film.
Didn't hate it at all. But I did pick up on a few things rewatch because I'd just seen this, like you said, just talked about it, I guess probably 3 months ago was the first time I watched it. I was like, oh, wow, Serpico. Yeah. I should have seen that by now. I've never seen it. I'm going to watch it. Liked it way more the first time I watched it. A couple of things that I watched it this time, kind of like, I still liked it. Still thought it was great.
Yeah.
But there were a couple of things I'm like, wow, I bet there's like a 4.5 hour cut of this movie laying around somewhere.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the stuff was a bit undeveloped, maybe. I don't want to say it was undeveloped, but it seemed rushed.
Yeah, I had the same feeling.
And it was still 2 hours and 10 minutes long, and it told the story in a good way, and it felt like a full story, but there was like these little clips almost. They were almost not scenes. They were clips.
You could almost see the stitching almost, like it was stitched together a
wow,
bit.
Wow, there was some heavy editing done on this thing.
But man, it's interesting because I'm totally on board with you, but the things that held it together pretty well, and it could have come apart even more so.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but yeah, I don't know, interesting film for sure. Adam, this ought to be nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I tell you what, he has more beard than I do.
Yeah.
He's the
all
bearded
y'all
one.
Combined.
What you think of Serpico 1970? Have you seen this film before?
Never seen it before. First time. Yeah. I was excited. I went in thinking that this was going to be like an action cop movie.
Action time.
Yeah. Completely not.
Uh-oh.
It was so dramatic and moving.
But I'm bored.
Just, I liked the story. I thought it was a good story. I thought the acting was great, but I, as a whole, I just could only go for a 5.
Kind of right in the
middle.
Just didn't hit you, right?
Yeah, just didn't.
Didn't shoot you in the face.
Nothing. Just,
you know, that's actually a bit of a knock on this film, and it was when it came out as well. I mean, you're seeing New York City gritty cop. You're thinking bullets flying, crime, drama. And that's not what this is. This is a character study.
Yeah.
This is also a true story.
Yeah.
It's
true
fascinating.
True stories can have bullets in it.
Well, this one had bullets.
Well, they can't just add bullets. We need an action scene, Serpico.
Add bullets.
But that's not
insert
the core.
Insert bullet here.
At the core, this is not a cop drama.
No.
It is, but it's not
a drama. But it's not a cop action movie.
It's not. That's what I'm saying. It's not an action. You're not watching this
it's
as
not
an
Point
action
Break.
Film.
No. No, it's
Savage.
Not that,
looks like we have a 5. We have an 8. We have a strong 7.
Strong
for me.
7. Yeah. Right.
How many Bagmen are you going to give Serpico 1970?
Well, it's no secret that 70s films aren't my bag. You know,
not your bag, man.
No, it's not my bag, man. I don't like the film stock. I usually don't like the acting. It's just not my thing. You know, so I went into it with that. You know, Pacino's Pacino. So you got to know, props to.
Yeah.
And this is an awesome film. In its way, it's a classic thing from the 70s. It's like time capsule, and I don't want to use the word dated, because there's a difference between being classic and dated. This is very dated in its structure and in what it captures on image, beautifully captures on image, but I got to go a 9. I mean, almost a 10. We could talk about this, and I could go to a 10, but I've only seen it the once, so maybe like what Max says, you
great
know, my
movie.
Yes, on second viewing, I might start picking it apart, but I was completely blown away. I think this is more testimony to Lumet's skill as a filmmaker.
Yeah.
And I think we discussed this with a Fantastic Voyage, where the era of the big production studios was done.
Yeah.
And then here we're coming into the filmmakers, like the savants or the avant-garde mm-hmm. filmmakers. Mm-hmm. And Lumet obviously qualifies in that yeah. peer group.
I would definitely put him there.
And this is pure filmmaking. I mean, from that opening, that brilliant, brilliant opening with just the sirens, just the wipers, just
yep.
very little score in this at all. In this, mm-hmm. and we'll talk about that later, I'm sure. Just the cacophony of the noise and the tension that yep. creates, mm-hmm. the reality of it. And, you know, you kind of get that with 70s films. You know you're going to get gritty and, you know, yeah. realism instead of stylism.
Interesting facial hair.
Yeah.
Chest
yeah.
wax, all that.
Yeah, but I was caught from the sirens and the wipers. I'm like, okay, yeah. all right, you have my interest now.
Yeah.
And where do we go from here?
It pulls your mind. At that point, you start to wander with the film.
Yeah.
And that there's like a big black curtain, and you hear chaos in back of it, and black curtain being the black screen. You don't know what's going on in back of it.
Yeah.
And it's very effective. Right from its opening frame, it's effective like that.
Yeah, you know? it really, really is.
Yeah, interesting. I'm glad you loved the film.
Yeah.
Maybe you can shed some light on it.
Oh, we will.
I'm on board with you, Max. I think I'm on board with you, too. It's also felt like it was a bit rushed. They tried to really cram a lot into this film. I mean, it's broad.
Yeah. Is there a timeline on it? What's the timeline on the film? I don't think
about
they
two
make,
years.
Is it 2 years
yeah.
only?
Yeah, it's about 2 years. It
seemed like the car change was more than 2 years.
Well, there's one point when he tells a guy, he says, "You know, Serpico, you're a weird cop. We don't like weird cops around here." And a lot of guys talk like that in this film. He said, "Well, I've been here for a year, man." Right. So there's a year there.
Yeah.
Well, I guess what I'm talking about is from the start where he's trying to, you know, show the corruption.
Oh, okay.
That's about a 2 year.
No,
I think the whole time he was on the force was about 4 years.
4 years?
Yeah. Something yeah. around there, yeah.
Seemed longer than that. I mean, and I really appreciated how he showed time,
yeah.
either with the facial hair. Like you said earlier, it's like chapters. Exactly mm-hmm. like that. And you knew immediately how much time had passed,
yeah.
you know, with the relationship stuff, and which was handled incredibly deftly, I thought, with his relationships with the women that he had.
Lori and Laura.
Yeah. yeah. I like a filmmaker who can do that, who can jump time like that and make it okay for the audience.
Yeah. They told it well, because like I just said, there's a lot in this film. It jumps from big spans and big ideas and big character
yeah.
arcs. I mean, he's this man, and then he grows into this, and then he becomes this. And you're putting all this into 2 hours. I was left with the idea that they could have, very seldom do you say a film should be longer. If anything, we always say, well, they could have shorted up.
Mm-hmm.
I thought this suffered from 2 hours. It could have been better at 2.5, maybe even 3. I don't know.
I don't know what's on the Blu-ray or DVD or whatever. Yeah. I know they didn't have a tendency to save a lot of the stuff that went on the cutting room floor in the 70s. They saved a lot more than you would imagine. I would imagine there's probably a good chunk of film they cut out of this thing. Like you said, you can see the stitching. Okay, we got to have this part in there. We've got to cut everything else. Yeah.
Tell you what, for me, it's all about Pacino, though. We know he's become a bit of a caricature, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you're 1973 and yeah. you're watching someone devastate a role like this,
yeah.
he knew how to weave, kind of slink his way in, just like the clothes he was in, very slinky, very yeah. silky smooth, in and out of these scenes, becoming this person. And then just the passion with which he did certain things in this film was awe-inspiring. Pacino was the man for me in this film. So even as much as I have trouble saying, well, at times it didn't hold together, the way he ripped that man's drawers off and the way he ripped pages out of this script
yeah.
was effective for me. I think this is my favorite Pacino role.
It's one of mine. I have to go with Sonny, though. Not Sonny. Sonny was James Caan.
What am I talking about?
Michael
Corleone. What about you? Let's go over to the producer real quick. I want to get some leverage here. You say 5. You're expecting bang, bang, shoot him up. Drop dead. That kind of thing.
Yeah, I figured 70s is good gritty stuff.
It was gritty.
What was it that
more gritty?
Knowing, all right, you're involved in the film, you're thinking, okay, it's not that. Now it's going to be this kind of movie. Knowing that it was that kind of movie, what did you like about it?
I thought the acting was fantastic. I thought the story was great. I'm not going to hate on that, but there's a lot of things that bothered me with it. And one of the biggest thing was the music.
Okay.
The music
very
did
little
not,
music.
No, the music was good, but the music did not fit the movie. And on top of that, the music was extremely loud.
There was very little music.
But when they played, especially at the beginning, it was so loud that you could barely hear them talk.
Okay, so how many points do you knock off for the music?
Oh, it's called.
How many points do you knock off?
I'll knock off 2 just for that.
He's pulling out trigonometry on him.
No.
Yeah, right.
So you thought some of the technical stuff was kind of fell a little flat to you?
Yeah, and
you didn't like that.
I thought it did look too dated. Even I know it's a 70s movie. But I thought it was so extremely dated, and that's all, I could not help but go 70s. But I understand it was the era, and it was
Well, I'm
for that, but it bothered me because of the stupid hats they wore.
Well, that is the worst hat.
It's a point for a hat. It's a point for dated.
No, those are stupid reasons to say something. So we're down to take, six. To take stuff off them. Well, this movie was made in the 20s. Look at those silly clothes. People don't wear those anymore.
A stopwatch.
This movie is dumb.
A pocket watch. What is that?
I give it a three.
No, what? You're not listening to me.
Yeah, I am. Yeah, you're saying you're knocking points off because of the clothes they wore.
I didn't say anything about that. I thought the relationships, them showing the relationship between him and the women, they meet, and then next thing you know, they're breaking up.
It's that like, was rushed. I'm going to give that to
there's
you.
There's no story in there. The whole overall arc of the story was too long. Right. That's okay. Me personally.
You know what? I can't. I'm not going to part ways with them because I get it. The clothes thing I don't get. Those 70s clothes were so
just dated me. It distracted me from the movie.
Okay, let me tell you what I think. Kind of like the great movie that you had us watch, The Conversation. Mm-hmm. God, I love that film. If you're going to throw 70s at me, man, I want to go there. I want to feel the clothes.
This
I want to feel my chest hair. I want to see my sideburns. I want to feel the funk.
Right.
And that's what I loved about this. I mean, if you're going to say this is a slice of time, don't try to pretend it's not.
Exactly.
I don't want to go half dated. I want to see the cars. I want to smell the streets. I want to sense the essence of this time and space.
Yeah, there's zero irony with this. I mean,
I loved it.
It was never intended to be that. I mean, they're just capturing reality, and I think that's one of the most amazing things that I came back to this film over and over. This is a perfect representation, and maybe it's geographically isolated with the boroughs of New York and, you know, the cop stations and the huge banks of filing cabinets, you know, before like computers and all of that. Mm-hmm. I thought that was incredible to behold as a time capsule kind of thing. And it's, well, to Mac's point, it's like if you're shooting a film in the 20s, well, that's what the 20s look like. They're not trying to say, hey, let's be 20s, you know, and he wasn't trying to be 70s. That's how they dressed.
It was even
that's what
that
the roads
era,
look like.
That. I was just saying that the clothing was very distracting.
Well, he was Paco, man. He was working the streets, man.
Well, here's the thing, though, Adam. See, his character was distract. It was a distraction. He wasn't your typical cop. He's not going to blend in with the others. He was loud and proud, and he was there. He was Serpico. He was the man that's defiant. So when you say it's a distraction, he had to be this. He had to be a distraction because he was in the movie as his character.
Well, he didn't want to be. I don't think Serpico wanted. He just wanted to be a cop. He just didn't want to be a dirty cop. I mean, there was a nobility there, and at its core, that's what this film is about. And it's an old story. It's about the corruption of authority and power.
Yeah.
Since humans have told stories, they've told this story about the boss being a crooked boss.
Right.
And that's that story. And you know, the nobility of the individual. I think there was some money though. I mean, did his mom give him that checking account? So he didn't need money. I think he was kind of. Yeah. They kind of implied that there was some family wealth something or something.
There. Yeah. Well, yeah. And the thing is, too, the scene where he goes to get, and we'll get into scenes here after we come back from a break. The scene where he goes and talks to his mother's all in Italian. You have to imply everything.
I loved that scene.
I didn't have to.
I loved that scene.
Well, yeah, you did. Why
he
say
speaks
you,
Italian?
You speak Italian.
I can understand Italian.
Okay.
So what did they say in the movie?
I love you, Frankie. Here's some money.
I don't know. I have
the shoe business is good.
In a while.
You could understand it. What did they say?
You're talking.
We're going to play this clip in Italian. You're going to translate it for us.
Yeah,
thank you.
Really?
Brilliant.
Why don't we take a break right now? I want to talk to Max Gumbo Johnson when we come back. Here's a clip, a piece of Serpico, 1973. We'll be back in just
one
second.
McDougal and third.
McDougal and third.
Yeah.
Can I give you a lift?
Sure.
Oh, I got your hands on my money belt. Don't do that.
That's not a money belt. Whoop. That's a gun.
Oh, we gotta eat, don't we?
What do you need a gun for?
You ever hear of Barnum and Bailey?
Yeah.
Well, I'm their line tamer.
Come on.
That's the truth. What do you do?
Oh, me? I'm an actress, a singer, a dancer, and a Buddhist.
Oh, in that order? I'm a cop. Would you believe that?
All right, so there you go. There's Serpico 1973, a piece of it. Let's talk about some scenes, man. Max Gumbo Johnson, I can't wait to talk to you about scenes from this film. When you look back at Serpico, what stands out?
Let's see. One of my favorite scenes was when he had to go to the park and meet all those guys by that tree.
Yeah.
You mean at the end of the film?
No.
When he had to go meet all the other guys from the precinct, and they was like, well, what are you doing with your money? Well, he said he was going to hang on to it for me. He said, all right, we'll just split Serpico's cut.
He said, you're such a schmuck, Serpico.
Yeah, and he showed up there, and he had no idea what was going to happen. Every time he showed up,
nervous.
They were patting him down for wires. They were checking him and saying he was such a schmuck. you know, tell him what a sellout he was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The tension of him walking up to that and seeing those guys there was just, for me, it was unbearable. Like, yeah. Oh, my God, what are they going to do to this guy? Here's what I would like to know, too. What kept them from just turning this dude's lights out and just saying, we don't know what happened to him?
Yeah.
You felt the weight of that. You knew it was coming.
Yeah.
And when you talk about the fear and the tension with him, the scene I think of, one of them, when he's shooting at the target in the target range, the practice range.
Straight at him.
And that thing's coming at him, and all of a sudden the lights flick on, and his eyes are bugged out. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. You mm-hmm. sense the fear in Pacino's face.
Yeah.
He portrayed the heaviness of Serpico's circumstances very effectively in this film.
Oh, yeah. Here's what, and this is a little off from scenes, but while I was watching this the second time, I started to think about a couple of things. If you want to call this a time capsule movie, I mean, every movie in its own right is sort of a time capsule. But this really, really, really captured a bit of what was going on in this country at the time. I mean, think about it. 2 years earlier, Dirty Harry came out.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 71, Dirty Harry, which took place in San Francisco after the Scorpio Killer. That was his name in the movie.
Yeah.
Whatever his name was.
Zodiac. But the original, Zodiac Killer. The original screenplay for that was set in New York, by the way.
Yeah. But it was based on the Zodiac Killer. And, that movie was a reflection of people's being just so ticked off. What do you mean we got to read him their rights? Why can't we just go shoot the guy? Let's go just take him out, which was totally what was reflected in Dirty Harry. 2 years later, you get a movie like this, which is almost a, I don't want to call it an anti-Dirty Harry.
Yeah.
Because you're rooted for the cop in both cases.
Right.
But this was one where the cops were the bad guys, too. And so you sort of had that going on in the country at the same time. There was this distrust of government. I mean, huge distrust of government.
Well,
still,
NOM stuff was going on.
There was NOM stuff, but it hadn't reached its pinnacle, but it was pre-Watergate. Yeah. So there was a lot more distrust of government and bureaucracy coming on at the time.
Yeah.
This was a huge reflection of that. And it would, the fact that it is something that actually happened makes it even more compelling and relevant.
What he's saying is brilliant. I mean, I didn't think about it in that context. Why did this resonate? When Dirty Harry came out, the country, the audience wanted to see a cop. To hell with it. I'm going after the bad guy. Mm-hmm. You're living in fear. Here's the cop you need now. At this time, here's the cop I want to see. Well, here's the cop you need now.
And that's,
it's a very good reflection of the audience.
And of the times. Everybody was, shouting out, you pigs, 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 blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Well, here's a cop you could root for. He's like, okay, he's a good guy. He's wanting to do the right thing.
Right.
And take the bad cops down. In that, that sense, I thought, this is just holds up a complete mirror. And that's what great art should do.
Yeah, but again it goes back to it, that story is a timeless story.
Yeah, but
we're still telling it today.
Yeah. I want to make one point to Adam's point. I want to counterpoint this. You talked about the music. You know, at the end of the film I write down things that I loved.
Mm-hmm.
Music. There's a scene here that stands out to me when it's a backflash to Frank at his most innocent. Serpico before he becomes Serpico.
Right.
You get so much out of the scene when he walks into the shoe store and you find out his roots.
His brother.
Who looked just like Chris Kattan, by the way.
Yeah.
That dude looked straight up like Night at the Roxbury. You know what I'm talking about?
I know you're talking about.
Looked just like Chris Kattan.
Yeah.
There's a beautiful sequence there where this old world music comes in, and it's just hauntingly beautiful.
Yeah.
They play it there. They play it at the graduation scene. They play it at the end of the movie. There's 3 points in this film where I thought the music was overplayed. It was loud, but for some reason, it just enraptured me. I love the music in this film.
But there was very little of it.
But there was little of it.
Yeah. And it caught me because usually we're conditioned with films, particularly now, for the music to tell us what to feel, when to feel. This was absent in this whole film. The music was very intentional. And this is why I go back to Lumet's filmmaking. I mean, this is a master craftsman making a masterpiece. I may go to a 10 with this. The only time music was in this film is when it was in his personal life. Anything to do with the police, anything to do with his business, there was no music ever, ever. It was silent. You had no music telling you the tension was there. It was all done with acting.
Yeah.
All his personal stuff, when he met his brother, when he was with his girls or his mom, all the music only came, the score only came in his personal life.
You know,
it was too loud.
It was loud, but for some reason it was effective. And I think what you're telling me is when Frank was, what am I trying to say? At ease.
At ease. At
when
peace.
Frank
he heard
was
music.
At peace, he heard music. This was the music of his soul. This is what was in him.
Because he loved opera. I mean, they established that over and over.
The only time when Frank was anything but Frank the cop, you heard music.
Right.
I love that.
Yeah. When he was Frank, he heard music, but when he was Paco, he couldn't. It was too tense.
Do you think that's by accident,
no,
Max?
No,
is that
not
way,
at all.
Is that what they wanted us to
of
think?
Of course
and feel?
They did, yeah. And you bringing that up, that's another thing that, as far as cop movies go,
yeah.
this is the first, or maybe not the first, or maybe the earliest, but this is one of the major examples of a police procedural almost, where it shows the other side.
Yeah.
That, like, you know, normally you see the guy's fighting in court and he's like taking down the bad guys, and then you don't see him go home and have a fight with his girlfriend and have a beer and then argue with another guy about sitting how they're going to get this stuff out and sitting in the tub. This showed
a lot of the toll that
all of this took on this guy. He was a nervous wreck, and how he kept it up is beyond me.
You listened to Opera?
Tell you what, he didn't. Let me tell you what. There were some scenes here, back to The Passion of Pacino, where he was on the brink, man. When Bob comes back to his apartment, Pacino's by a thread, man, and he goes buck-ass crazy on Bob.
Mm-hmm.
He can't take it anymore. Pacino played that thing to the hilt.
Yeah.
And that's when you thought, okay, the weight of these circumstances, you had to feel it at that point.
Yeah.
And you really did. You want to talk about this scene?
I do. I love that scene. Yeah. I love all the stuff with Tony Roberts in it.
Yeah.
Because you're so used to seeing with Woody Allen.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, hey, who's that guy? The only problem I have with that scene, which is powerful on Pacino's part, is because I've seen The Room. And once he tells her, she's like, "You're tearing me apart, Paco."
Wait a second.
I caught the same thing.
Oh, you're tearing me apart.
How in the hell did I miss
that? You're lying. I never hit you. You are tearing me apart, Lisa.
Man.
How did I miss that?
You're tearing me apart.
I'll bet you. I wouldn't be surprised if Weezo took it from this film. Because that is very much almost the same scene.
You could have.
Let's go to a movie.
Will you quit handling me? What are you doing? Go to a movie. How am I going to go to a movie? You know they'd kill me if they knew. Do you know that? You think that hasn't happened?
Either you're exploding or you lie around like a catatonic. I can't stand it, Paco.
All right.
All I care about is you. That's all that matters to me. That's why it hurts so much I can't stand to see you like this. Scared, miserable, dreading to go to work. It's tearing me apart. And then I get sick of hearing about it and I start hating myself.
Yeah, it could have.
I like the deli scene, too. The first time I realized it. Explain that to me, Max. What was the problem with the roast beef again?
It was fatty.
It was fatty, but he was giving it to him for free, so don't bitch.
Right.
That was basically what he was saying. Look, you know, this guy gives it to us for, and they give him a break on his double parking.
That's right.
It was graft from the very beginning.
Right. All right, let's talk about this real quick before we forget. I loved that buck-ass wild partner is when he went to the new precinct. Remember he chased the guy down in reverse?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then he gave the guy a swirly.
Pushed him in the toilet.
Right. Remember that, producer?
Yeah.
Oh, the best part was when the dude was running and he just falls down. That was
I love that. I thought that was great. It's like they could have totally cut that out, but
no, they
it
kept
was
it.
Awesome.
You know that was legit. He fell.
Oh, it looked when he got up, it was like, wow, that dude just hurt himself.
Go back and watch that scene again. Someone is driving like a crazy person in reverse down the streets of some Manhattan street.
Right.
And it looked to me like the bystanders in that scene had no idea they were filming anything that
day.
There is fear on the sidewalk.
Oh, man.
I mean,
and that maniacal grin is
that with the chest hair and the medallion. I mean, there's some grit in this movie. One other scene I have here, Max. What can you tell me about the big scene? I would call this one of the big scenes, the rape scene, when you first get a glimpse into Frank's
uniform.
Character.
Yeah.
You know what I like about that?
What?
When they were putting the kid in the car, they said, "Let me have a minute with him. Let me have a minute with him." He takes him across the street and has coffee with him. He says, "You know, you're gonna take the rap for this. You're gonna go 25, 26 years or whatever." Yeah. And he goes over there without the guy even in cuffs or anything.
Yeah. There's
so
a lot of that.
You always want to think, well, yeah, okay, I get it. You're the good cop. The other guy was a bad cop. Well, that dude was a really bad cop. So.
Well, that's exactly what I got from that scene right there. I mean, at that point, it's like, okay, Serpico's the good cop.
Yeah.
Every other cop is a terrible human being.
Well, at that scene, you've already met Serpico, the person. This is where you meet Serpico, the character. His internal character, his moral compass.
Yeah.
This is where you're introduced to that.
Right.
And he tells the guy, even the suspect says, well, didn't you get in on the fun when they roughed him up, you know?
Mm-hmm. He said, I didn't touch you.
He said, that's not my kind of fun, man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know what else I wrote down? What do I have here? Oh, they resent Frank's mustache, his first mustache scene. You look like an a-hole with dentures.
Right. That thing comes off.
Yeah. Giving Frank a hard time about the facial hair.
Right. Yes, sir. Where's the commander?
And no one liked Frank. You remember his boss was suspectful of him giving sexual favors to his coworkers in the bathroom?
Well, that was Marty McFly's principal. That guy never had hair anyway.
He never had. That's in my notes. Did that guy ever have hair?
Nope, he didn't have hair. I couldn't stand that guy.
Let's talk about some of the things we felt were rushed, and Adam makes a good point here. I think someone else brought up, and I can even go there. I think some of the love interests, the scenes, and the way it was brought about was like, love interest, here you go. It was a little too quick.
I thought a little bit of it was too quick. That party scene
I love the Partisan.
It was too quick. It was just like these little snippets of him and then that terrible sound editing. Everyone loves you, Paco.
Yeah, shot from way across the room.
Oh, that was one thing I wrote down when you talk about the rushed relationships. He's going out with this girl for, I don't know, I would assume a couple months.
Yeah.
And she's going to he's going to this party and he says, oh, call me Paco. That's what my friends call me. Well, wouldn't she know that by now? Wouldn't she know that his friends call him Paco?
Yeah.
I would assume that would have come out.
I think that's probably his like his undercover name. You know, Serpico.
Maybe Paco. Maybe he decided that day he's going to be Paco. We don't know.
I don't know. It just said.
No, because the hooker on the street, hey, Paco, what's it? It's like, why do they call you that? When they had the groceries?
Yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. It's just what they call him.
Hey, here's a scene for you. What about the weed smoking scene when he first meets
I thought
Paco?
That was great.
I loved it. I mean, I love it. Tony Roberts. It's some good stuff.
It's some good stuff. What's the cop saying? All right, you may know this as grass, as juke, right. As weed.
We're going to pass around these marijuana cigarettes. So that
as a joint. And but Frank, I don't think Frank smoked it.
Yeah, he did.
He did.
They all fired up.
I know Bob did. Bob was like taking a big old drag. Yeah, police work. Oh, this is some good stuff. And then it shows him. Producer, remember they're on the subway and they get the munchies?
Right. Oh, yeah. He's trying to beat the potato chip machine.
Potatoes.
And on the side of the vending machine, this had to be there to get me
yeah,
to
what
think
did it
about
say?
Oh, yeah.
It said, God wants you in church often.
Yeah.
I'm thinking... Did they find a vending machine that had that on there? No, Did Lumet say, write that on there?
I think it's just what it
I
was.
I think it was probably on there.
You think so?
Like, he said, oh, let's use this machine. Okay. I like that.
Something else I have here, too. As the movie goes on, he's trying to find a way to get his story out.
Yeah.
And the last thing he wants to do is go to the papers, because when he goes to the papers, it's out.
Yeah.
That's why at the end he says, I don't care what happens to me, because something might. But when it happens, I want someone to know what the truth was. But before he does that, he goes and meets the most honest cop Bob knows. And here's this dude eating the biggest ass lobster I've ever seen for
the
lunch.
The commissioner, yeah.
That was a big lobster.
I mean, I don't even remember the scene. I just remember thinking, who eats a lobster like that for lunch?
Well, so he sat down with him. He said, look, it gave me the $300. What I would do with it? And he said,
that wasn't the commissioner.
Yeah. Either keep it
or have a lobster dinner.
Or forget about it.
He said, you're
that
crazy.
That was the best advice that he could have got.
He said, you're crazy. He says, if they find you, you'll be in the East River.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only advice.
Face
he
down
gave.
In the East River. Yep.
What was he dipping that lobster in, though?
I don't know.
It almost like ranch.
See, that's why you didn't like this movie. You're paying attention to stupid stuff like that, and not paying attention to the movie.
The subtext. But I did notice that it was like white, like real thick white, like cream or something.
Oh, yeah, that's good. That's good. Adam says, "What's he dipping the lobster in?" That's fantastic.
We got to talk about the drawers ripping.
Yeah, okay.
Y'all talked about that enough.
No. This is a powerful scene.
Yeah, it goes back to the arrest and where he takes the own dude's car in. Like, get in the car. I'm driving your own car.
Give me your keys.
Yeah,
okay.
He arrests the guy and then handcuff him, get in the car. Come on.
Well, you know, the real powerful part of that scene or the aspect of the scene is how alone Frank is in that. Because the suspect's upstairs laughing, kicking one back with the cops. They're all his buddy. He's been on the take with him forever. So when Frank walks in and rips his drawers off and kicks his ass into the jail cell, old school jail cell, by the way.
Holding cell.
He's standing there alone and right. See, I like movies where someone is right and alone.
Yeah, and they're all just standing there.
He's completely isolated.
And then he gets a copy of the rap sheet and says, read it. Yeah. Guy did 15 years for killing a cop.
Yeah. No,
and he sat down and I didn't get when he threw the chair down.
Well,
he kept putting the chair
down. That's just method.
He was just angry.
Method, yeah.
The scene ends with this. I'm sorry, the movie ends with this particular. It winds out this way. Okay, Frank goes to the paper. He's exposed.
Yeah.
Okay, now he's out. It's all said and done. Broke you know it's coming. Here's why I can't go any higher than my soft eight. I can't believe they went and took me all the way through this journey to show me a pimple on Frank's face. I did not like the ending of this movie. I didn't like the fact that it just felt too convenient. Like, obviously, no, this is going to happen, so here it is for you. If you're looking at two bookends, they should be equal. They should be equal in mass. They should be equal in size.
Okay. Yeah.
I didn't feel like the ending was equal in mass and size to the front, which was fantastic. That is that's why I was a little disappointed.
That's a legitimate thing.
And it just ended with him basically saying, okay, this is what happened. I'm in the grand jury. I'm a good cop. This is what I think. I hope it does it. And then he kind of walks away. It didn't punch me the way I wanted it to. What about you, Max?
I didn't hate the end. The guy got to get his information out there. He got to say what he wanted to say. The best part of that scene was when they take that long pan shot across the courtroom, and they show you all the people that are in there, all the ones that were on his side, and then everybody else, all the guys that blocked his way, doing everything to stop this guy. And they had to sit there and listen, and then they had to stand up and applaud. Yeah. Which you know they didn't want to do. They were like, they wanted to take out their guns and kill the guy right then. I thought it was great. And the pimple, well, that thing.
I mean, I don't know how
it was.
He
said it was a small caliber gun anyway.
Yeah. You know, okay. And, you know, if you get shot through the cheek, I mean, that's not going to leave. Now, if it shatters bone or something like that. So I don't know the logistics of how he was shot. Maybe that is an accurate representation of the
well, I can tell you my shark bite has healed up to the point where you can barely even see where the shark bit. Yeah.
I really like the last scene where he's just sitting there on the curb with the sheepdog.
I love that.
That speaks volumes about his character and what he's left with ultimately.
And what is he left with ultimately? Because that is open-ended. You can take from it what you want.
He's left with himself and the only
Switzerland.
And the only true unconditional love is that's the love of a dog.
It's good to see you again, Frank.
That's it. I'm finished.
What's wrong?
I can't take it anymore. I got to get out. If I have to go back to uniform, I'm going back to uniform. I can't wait for Delaney to call, and I can't play their game anymore. I'm right in the middle. I can't take it.
Frank, you mean to say the commissioner didn't get in touch with you?
No, he didn't get in touch with me. Not a word. No investigation, no undercover work, nothing.
I have no idea, Frank.
Captain, I think it's only fair to tell you. I've been to outside agencies. I'm going to go to more if I have to.
What outside agencies? Holy mother of God. Frank, we wash our own laundry around here.
Oh, yeah?
Now, you could be brought up in charges for this.
I always thought so, but the reality is that we do not wash our own laundry.
Sir,
it just gets dirty.
You are in trouble.
I don't care if I'm in trouble. I don't care who gets it anymore, including myself. Because if I have to go to outside agencies to get somebody to hear my story, well, where am I going to go?
You hear me, Serpico? Stay away from me.
Where am I going to go?
You just wait until you hear from me.
I've been waiting for a year and a half. What are you talking
about? Back to you, Frank.
That's not enough.
I'll get back.
But where am I going to go? It's my life.
All right, there it is. One last time. Frank Serpico from the film Serpico, 1973, Sidney Lumet.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's get into it, guys. Top three beards.
Beards.
Did anybody do anything outside of beard?
No, I mean, but I do have my little subgenre, which is my way.
You know. Let's do it. Let's kick it off, Savage. Inspired by the film Serpico, 1973.
Yeah.
Top three great beards.
So, yeah, as I was researching, you know, the top cinematic beards, because this one kind of took me out of left field. Yeah. I realized that some of my favorites were from Tom Hanks, so I decided to do a Tom Hanks list.
Okay. So, Tom Hanks. Oh, okay.
All right,
okay.
All right. Tom Hanks. Favorite like cinematic Tom Hanks beards. Number three, Lady Killers. A criminally underappreciated Coen Brothers film.
I've never seen this film.
I love Lady Killers.
It's the only Coen Brothers film I have not seen.
He's got the Colonel Sanders soul patch, and I just love it. I just love it. So number three, Tom Hanks beard in film. Lady Killers.
Not bad, and I like the theme you're putting there. Okay. Now, when you talk about the beard, that also reminds me of the beard from V for Vendetta, the mask.
A little bit. Okay. A little bit of that going on.
Yeah, a little bit of a shyster kind of look to it. Yeah. Good job there.
Or KFC, if you've seen the sign for KFC.
Don't throw that on the Colonel. 11 Herbs and Spices, man. Right. He gives it to you crispy. Crispy? Crispy or original, man, either way. Yeah. Producer, you know the spiel. You know what list we're talking about. Top three beards in movies.
Well, this beard was the whole reason for the movie. President, Prime Minister, Admiral General Aldeen from The Dictator.
Oh, yes, yeah. Sir.
Had to get his beard shaved. And
yeah.
Everything just, he just gets done.
That's your number three?
Yeah, it's my number three.
The movie's about his beard.
Yeah.
But it's not his favorite beard.
Okay. It's not my favorite.
All right, fair enough.
But the whole movie revolves around his beard.
Okay.
Yeah. That's like, why are pubes growing on my face beard? That's like an ugly beard.
It's like a Gary beard.
Yeah. Is that on your list?
No.
Max, number three for you, what's it going to be?
Number three, I'm going to go Otis Firefly from Devil's Rejects.
Great beard.
That was a great slimy, white trash beard.
That's a nasty beard.
You got a great beard. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you what my number three is?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm just, you know, I name these beards. Like,
okay.
I'm going to grow a la la la. You know what? I'm talking about growing out a Hooper.
A Hooper?
I'm going to grow me a Hooper. What do you think I'm talking about?
Jaws.
Yeah, that's right.
Hooper.
That was like the first beard I remember really respecting in film.
Is that Richard Dreyfuss character?
Richard Dreyfuss.
Okay.
I'm talking about growing out a Hooper.
He's making his knots.
Don't wait for me.
Crushing his styrofoam. Okay. Right.
Yeah. Go out to the end. I need scale. Scale my ass.
You know, Hoodie. If Hoodie was here, he could grow a Hooper. Yeah. I see him having a Hooper beard.
He kind of looks like Hooper.
Yeah, I could.
He also looks kind of like Quinn.
Yeah, I couldn't grow a Hooper. Number two for you, Savage.
Yeah, Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks beard.
Tom Hanks, Castaway. True beard, Castaway.
Wait.
Crazy.
I think you're doing this just to be sly. You can't talk about a Tom Hanks beard movie and have Castaway number two.
Yeah,
I can't wait to hear your number one.
Absolutely. I got
it.
Okay.
I know it's number one.
Absolutely you do.
Yeah. Oh, I got it. Yeah, sorry. I forgot about that one.
Yeah.
All right, yeah, Castaway beard.
Right.
You know what you'd call that beard? That's the FedEx.
Yeah, we call it the salty dog.
Salty dog? No, I'm calling it the FedEx.
I call it the sea. She's a bitch.
Producer. The list is top three beards in movies inspired by the film Serpico. We're up to number two. So what's yours?
I got to go with the bridge keeper from the Holy Grail.
It's good. I like his list.
It's good. Yeah. It's good. All right.
I can't remember the beard. It was just kind of a tight.
He's got a beard. Terry Gilliam.
Yeah, but it's kind fantastic. Of a tight. It's just a tight and right beard. It's just tight and right.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's one of the most quoted scenes of all time, too.
Yeah. That's a good beard.
Yeah. It's a
Did they have gray in the beard? I can't remember.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Well, then, never mind.
Yeah. All right. Good beard.
You had a lot of beards in that movie.
Just the fact that you remembered it makes it a good beard.
Remember it. I love that movie.
I mean, if you remember it for some reason, it's the right answer.
Yeah.
Max, number two for you, beards. What you got?
Just forgot. Just remembered this when I told Adam a little while ago. I'm going to put that on my list. The Hermit from The Life of Brian, another punny.
There you go.
Monty Python movie.
Yeah, there you
go.
The little guy, the hole, and he's just, ow, when he fell on his foot.
And that's right.
And he jumps up and starts screaming, and then Jason Bryan, be quiet. I've been quiet for 25 years. Don't tell me to be quiet now.
Too funny. Too funny.
And he was naked. That beard covered his whole body.
Yeah, he was.
He was just dancing around.
Yeah. Like someone ripped his drawers off.
Wee! I got to watch that now.
That's so good, happy. Man. Not bad at all. My number two. I'm talking about growing out a montage.
A montage?
A Rocky, montage. Rocky 5.
Oh.
Montage.
Not remember a Balmorphination montage, right?
Well, I'm talking about, Rocky 4. I'm talking about when he went to Siberia.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Don't you remember? And all of a sudden, because here's what I liked about this beard. Every Rocky movie has a montage.
Yeah.
This one was a montage with a beard.
That's right.
You know what I'm talking about?
He did have a beard in there.
There was like five montages, too, right? Didn't you do this?
Yeah, it was like an hour, 30 minutes worth of montage.
Out of all the Rocky montages, this is the one with the beard. And I remember as a kid watching that going, damn, Rocky grew a beard. You just never seen him with a beard. That's my number two.
He was Italian stallion.
It was a good beard, too. Rocky dark, beard. Jet black.
Yeah, just a good beard. Yeah.
It looked like Velcro.
Like Nighthawk. Remember him, Nighthawk?
Yeah, Nighthawk, that was a kick-ass beard.
I could have went with that.
Right. That was awesome.
Same beard.
It was kind of like a very Serpico-ish kind of beard.
It was. It wasn't the same beard. It was neatly trimmed and stylish and manscaped.
With his beret.
Yeah. Rutger Hauer in that, too.
Or was it a Kango?
Yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah. Well, Billy Dee Williams was in it.
Yeah.
What about you, Savage? What's your number? What do we do? Number one?
Number one, Tom Hanks. You know, when you're running across the country back and forth, you're going to grow a beard.
Yep.
Until you get tired. And you just want to go home.
I think I'm going to go home now.
What a great beard.
She's going to say something. Kind of tired.
Kind of tired. Go home now.
But that's great because you walked out of there remembering that beard. It was like, remember when he grew the beard?
Yeah.
Because the whole movie didn't have one, and then suddenly he has this big
giant
beard.
Giant beard.
Just looked awful. He looks so different.
Yeah.
I noticed the thing about Tom Hanks' beards. They turn blonde at the end. The roots go blonde when he grows them long. You know what I'm talking about? Remember Castaway?
Check that. Yeah. Well, in Castaway, it was out in the sun. It was probably just bleached.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you know, saturation water. Of coconut water that he drank to lose weight.
And raw fish.
Right.
Eating nasty-ass crab legs.
Oh, I would tear them crab legs up.
Producer, number one. I can't wait. Thrill me.
Okay. First of all, I have to throw out an honorable mention to Olga Rodenrick from Freaks. Bearded lady. Okay.
I thought about that. Right, good answer.
But number one has to be Santa from Miracle on 34th Street. Because she reached up and pulled his beard. And he's like, oh! And she started believing in
what
Santa
a good answer.
Right then and there.
What a quality family.
Okay.
Appropriate answer.
From Adam, yes.
You know what, though? That is a great answer because
it's
the
not
beard.
Not Robo Ninja, bearded freak, whatever. You know?
But you know what, though? The beard served a purpose in that film. She pulled it to see if it's real.
Yeah.
It's not just some guy in a beard. That served a purpose.
No, that was Santa.
That beard had an actual role in this film.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I didn't like that movie. They wore those 50s clothes. That was so distracting.
Yeah. I mean, what are they thinking they're doing?
Idiots.
Number one for you, Max Gumbo Johnson.
This is probably not the greatest beard, but it was the first one I thought of because I love the movie so much. And this was a tough decision for me. I'm going to have to go with MacReady.
Yes.
From the
Absolutely. Thing. That is an awesome
Kurt
beard.
Kurt Russell.
From and you know that was totally legit.
That was
real
legit.
Beard. And that hair. Come on,
and
man.
And that sombrero.
Come on,
man. It was between him and the dude.
Yeah.
That was tough beard. For me to that's not say beard. The dude.
You know why that was a good beard, too? It was sensible. It was cold outside. He needed extra facial hair.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he lost that game of chess and poured his scotch into the computer. You know how much that computer probably cost back then, man?
Yeah, it was like a Tandy. Probably bought it at Radio Shack.
Oh, no. This was government issued stuff, dude.
Okay, you want to know my number one is?
Yes.
I'm going to go with the booby.
The booby?
I'm going to grow me a booby.
Booby. Hans.
Bilby. Oh, Hans Gruber.
No. There's the Gruber and the Booby. There are two great right. beards in Die Hard.
Harry Ellis. So you like the Booby.
I'm going to go with Ellis. Okay. Man, that was a corporate beard.
Oh,
it was corporate.
The corporate cocaine-snorting 80s beard.
I mean, if honest to God, if you thought of a corporate cocaine 80s-snorting beard, he had it.
He's
it was,
got the
that's
booby.
What you thought of yeah. when you saw that. The okay.
booby. I'm your you. White knight.
Hey, you use a what?
You use a gun?
Use a machine gun. I use a fountain pen. What's the difference?
What a douche.
Max, you know what? You could actually grow a booby.
I should do that for Halloween.
Grow a booby.
Hans. I should go as Hans Gruber for Halloween.
I'll grow me a booby. I'll go as Ellis. You can shoot me.
Awesome.
Hey, speaking of which, listen, I want to read something here real quickly. Yeah. I want to wrap this up. Where's the letter, Max?
Oh,
do you remember this? We've always said if you send in something to Max at his address, it's going to be read on here. You have no idea how much happiness this particular gift brought to the Q.
It's going to be on Twitter.
Later. Oh, it's going to go global. And we're talking about what the cult of VHS sent us. I've never seen anything like this. Beautiful. Hey, guys. Thought I'd send communication the old-fashioned way, sending us a letter. Thank you, cult of VHS. Great job on the podcast. Absolutely love the show. Would be crazy to see you guys over here in the UK for a recording. Make it happen. I'll sleep in your crawl space.
I have a passport.
I've enclosed a little something for you to play with. Have fun with it. I'll tell you what. I'm going to possibly, on the next show, find a way for you guys to see this particular gift. It's fantastic. It is a bare buttocks coaster.
For Lannister Cola?
Yeah.
Fenneman's Curiosity Cola.
Greatest Great thing I've ever had in my life. Thank you for stepping up. Call it the VHS. See that?
It works. You too can be on the air if you send me a letter at 120 Peachtree Street, Nashville, Tennessee, 37210.
All right, so that's where this one ends, guys. Let's get on with it here. Next week's show. This was Serpico, 1973.
Yeah.
We're talking about Al Pacino's acclaimed role. Savage, you
love
this film.
I loved it. As from a filmmaking, yeah. Watch it for Lamette. I mean, Pacino's great, but the film craft is awesome.
I tell you what, it's one that'll stick to the ribs because
yes, sir.
You put it down and you think about it. There's still scenes rattling around in my head. That's effective filmmaking, right, man?
It's fantastic stuff.
Yeah, so there you go. If you haven't seen it and you want to see what the 70s smelled like, if you want to see how people ate
like
lobsters, if you want to see how people ate lobsters and ripped
how
off
people
girls,
wore hats,
how people, tell you what, you get a good deal on sheepdog back in 1970.
Yeah, right.
Well, I mean, $5 was like a lot of money back then.
Yeah, right, right.
So there you go. And that brings us to next week's show, man. And I think it goes over to Max Gumbo Johnson.
It does indeed.
It does indeed. Yeah. what's it going to be?
Chef, the Jon Favreau film from 2014, I believe.
Anybody seen it?
Is it? No, I haven't. Heard things. Is it a director?
Yes.
Oh, it is a director.
Yep. Director film.
He wrote it, directed it, and acted. He's like an auteur.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know they directed it.
Yeah, directed it, wrote it. And,
same thing with Iron Man.
Acted in it.
Well, you know, I've heard some things about it. Am I going to be hungry afterwards?
Yes. You won't be hungry afterwards. You'll be hungry during.
I'm going to give this guy credit. I'll tell you something, Max. Your second calling should be a cook or a chef. He's good. He's good in the kitchen.
No,
I've had his
good.
Gumbo. I've had his tacos. I call them Maxcos.
Oh, I like that.
Maxcos.
Man, they're good.
They are good.
So if you're telling me that this is a movie about cooking and chefery, is that a word, chefery?
Chefery. It is now.
Chefarisms.
I just coined a phrase. If you're telling me that, it has to be worth watching because I appreciate your cooking skills.
Yeah, well, I mean, for all we know, the guy in the movie is a terrible chef.
No, he's fantastic.
Well, have you seen Favreau? He's no stranger to eating.
No, he's not. But I'll tell you what, there's a huge fantasy element to this film that just will blow you away.
All right, I'm on board.
You know I'm on board.
Yeah.
you might not pick up on it right away.
Okay.
But I picked up on it. I was like, okay, this dude's dreaming.
All right, that's next week's show. Chef 2014, new and fresh. You know, watch everything fresh when you're talking about food. Fresh movie. It's fresh on Netflix. The Jon Favreau Fair. So that's where this one ends. Serpico 1973. As always, thank you for tuning into The Q. If you want to offer your thoughts on this film that we discussed, anything, we don't care.
Nah.
Please go to theqfilmcast.net. So join us again next week. It's going to be Chef. And bring your appetites. And however it is you say, good night.
There are bids that reach down to your toes. And bids that go right up your nose. They're quite impressive, I suppose. But I think I love your bid the most. Well, some are big and some are small. And some men don't have one at all. My grandma had one, I recall. kids aren't beautiful. We're just the